Please turn with me to Matthew 15, verse 21. Matthew 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to learn from Jesus and from this Canaanite woman. What kind of faith is required for us to receive this kind of a commendation and praise from Jesus when we see Him? Lord, we just avail ourselves to You. We pray that You put all distractions aside. We pray that You would reveal what it takes and what kind of faith You are looking for in all of us. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I never quite understood the meaning behind this account fully until this week. And I'm thankful to the Lord. He has revealed the meaning. And to understand it, we have to look to the section above. And it says in verse 12, "Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" And what were the Pharisees offended by? When Jesus is saying, what defiles a person is not what comes in through the mouth, but what comes out of a heart and then a mouth. That is what defiles a person. And the Pharisees hearing this from Jesus, they know it's about them. And they are so offended. And there are many things that happen in life. And many things that even Jesus may say to us that if we're not careful may offend us. And the word for offense is, there's such a range of meaning. It's scandalizo, where we get the word scandal. And there are many meanings. One is to put a snare so that you stumble over the snare. It also means to give offense, to cause someone to fall away, to cause someone to be so shocked, indignant, and offended. And clearly, the Pharisees were offended, and so that's one definition. And I think you see the complete opposite in the Canaanite woman. She should have been offended. She should have been discouraged. She should have been stumbled. She should have fallen away. But Jesus doesn't put out a snare. He puts out a test. And one by one, this woman overcomes each of them. And at the end, receives such a commendation and praise. It says in verse 21, "Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word." And what's the first thing that this woman had to overcome and not be stumbled by, not be offended by? It's Jesus' silence. And when you have issues and you pray to the Lord and you bring it before the Lord and He doesn't answer you right away, Are you offended? Are you stumbled? Do you seek out other counsel? Do you just start doing things and hope that you get it right? This woman should have been offended. But she overcomes through her perseverance and her trust in the Lord Jesus. And that's why this woman is commended and praised for her faith. She overcomes the silence. So if you're praying to the Lord and the Lord is not answering you on a particular matter, welcome to the club. It is part of the growing in our perseverance so that we trust in the Lord Jesus no matter what He says or doesn't say. It is part of our training. If you're a Pharisee, you don't even sit around to wait. If Jesus doesn't answer, you just walk away. They're not even waiting. They don't even care about what Jesus has to say. The moment He doesn't say anything, they're gone. But for us as disciples of Christ, we must persevere even in the silence and not be stumbled by it. What's the second thing that this woman overcame? The disciples. Verse 23, and His disciples came and begged Him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." How many times do disciples of Jesus say or do stupid things? How many times do we, as disciples of Jesus, say and do stupid things? And this woman could have been so offended by these disciples who are misrepresenting Jesus. That's not the heart of Jesus. And we may have had parents, we may have had Christian leaders in the past. I know I have a list of people who did not represent God well to me. And I could hold a grudge. I could blame them. And that could be the obstacle that stumbles me. And I could be stuck for decades pointing a finger at that person or that leader or that parent. At some point, we need to overcome these things. You and I have to overcome and say, it's time to take ownership of my life. I am not bound by the past. I'm not bound by those comments. Disciples of Jesus can say and do stupid things. And they may misrepresent God, but am I going to be stumbled for the rest of my life because of something that someone said or did to me years ago? This woman is not deterred. She perseveres. She presses in when most people at this point would be, okay, I'm done with this. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to embarrass myself. The disciples of Jesus are saying this. I'm not going to tolerate this kind of humiliation. She could have walked away. But someone who perseveres in their trust, instead of retreating, presses in even more. Jesus is silent. The woman presses in, overcomes. The disciples say something very stupid and misrepresent Jesus. And still, the woman presses in, perseveres in her trust. And then verse 24, it starts to get even more difficult. He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now this one is a tough one. Because basically Jesus is talking to this non-Jew, this Gentile woman, and basically saying, "I didn't come for you." And to me, this represents something that's very confusing to a Gentile woman. And when Jesus says something to you or asks you to do something and it's very confusing, will you retreat? out of offense, because I think many people at this point would have walked away. If you're a Gentile woman and you hear Jesus saying, I came for the lost sheep of Israel, many people at this point would say, I'm done humiliating myself. I already endured the silence. I endured the disciples. Now I have to endure Jesus saying to me, a Gentile woman, that he has only come for the lost sheep of Israel. How many of us would at this point be so offended that we would walk away? Confusion. Look at John the Baptist. It's the same word. When Jesus says, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. All that John the Baptist did was to preach the truth. And he was doing the baptism of repentance. He was paving the way for Jesus, who would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he calls out Herod for the sin that he committed against his brother, to take his brother's wife unlawfully. And John, as a prophet, just calls things and says things the way he sees it. And that gets him in prison, and eventually he's going to be beheaded shamefully. And Jesus says about John the Baptist, blessed is John if he does not take offense, if he does not stumble, if he does not fall away. There is a test before him. And it's just confusing to John. And so John, in his confusion, asks Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one? And there are times in our lives that are just so confusing. And we have a choice at that point. Are we going to keep pressing in perseverance and trust? Or are we going to retreat and stumble and possibly fall away in the midst of the confusion? And lastly, verse 25. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. So you see how she presses in? She's not just enduring and just standing there. Now she is moving toward Jesus and falling at her feet and kneeling before him and saying, Lord, help me. This woman endured silence. This woman endured disciples who said a stupid thing and misrepresented God. This woman endured Jesus saying something so confusing to a Gentile woman. And now she's kneeling at his feet. She's pressing in. That's perseverance in her trust of the Lord Jesus. And now is the final test. It says in verse 26, and he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And if you're somebody who is like a Pharisee, and just one comment, and you don't even sit there to figure out what is Jesus saying, just on the surface, it seems like Jesus is against me. He's calling me a dog. So insulting. And if you're a Pharisaic, sensitive type who gets easily angry at comments, you would not even pause. You would just simply react, and I bet you would say something and then just storm off in the opposite direction. Because you took such offense at what Jesus said. Because on the surface, it is insulting. It seems very insulting. It seems like Jesus is against me, or he's against this woman. And it's even worse if you think about the fact that Gentiles were called in a derogatory sense. They were called dogs. And women were in biblical times were less than men, sometimes perceived as property. So as a woman, as a Gentile, you hear this, and wouldn't the temptation be that you'd be so angry? You might slap Jesus in the face and storm away. But did you know that this is what the Lord showed me this week? Did you know that when Jesus says dogs, He doesn't use a derogatory word that's used of Gentiles by Jews. He used a more affectionate term of a household pet. And we may say, well, that's not that much better. You call me a wild dog, a stray dog on the street, a mutt, or Fritz, Georgie, the little dog that we care for in our house. To a woman who is a Gentile, I think both terms could be so offensive. And it could seem like Jesus is against me. Why is He against me? It's like this might not be the best analogy, but when I joke around with the boys, there's a lot of affection, right, in what I say. There's a little bit of truth, and I'm trying to produce a change in the long term, but I'm not doing it in a aggressive, angry way that would utterly, you know, cause them to hate me and resent me. You know, when I say your shot is broken, or you're wobbly, or if you're a sensitive type, you hear you're not working hard enough. If you are a sensitive type, you could get so angered by the surface of what I say. But if you see, it's like I have a little smile on my face. There's a lot of affection there. You would not take offense. Like, I want my boys to be so confident that no matter what anyone says, they're not shaken by it. They're not upset by it. And so in some sense, there's a little test that I'm doing to toughen them up. I want them to be so confident. At the same time, I don't want them to be arrogant. I want them to be humble. And that's a very unique mix for a believer. We are so confident on the one hand of the Father's love, of Jesus' love for me, of His shepherding for me. He is humble, He is gentle, He's shepherding me. At the same time, the Father, He does discipline at times. He does prune. It is painful at times. There's some truth mixed in, but there's a lot of affection. You know, Jesus, you know, he's very harsh to one kind of person, to a Pharisee. He is so affectionate, so long-suffering, so patient with His actual disciples. With God's children. He speaks differently. Jesus speaks truthfully without any, you could say, without any affection when He's speaking to the Pharisees, because He knows these guys are not going to repent. These guys aren't going to repent. They're just going to be so offended by the truth, and they have no intention of repenting. But toward His children, God's children, He does speak some truth, but it's done with such affection. And so when Jesus says, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he's giving a clue about salvation history. He's saying, yes, I came for the lost sheep of house of Israel. That was confusing, but it's true. My mission during my earthly ministry was targeting Israel. And they're like my children. And I will give my best to my children. I love my children. But the household pet, they're also included. They're also in the family. It's not a stray dog. It's not a mutt on the street. It's a dog, a household pet who's there. And even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And without missing a beat, this woman who does not get easily offended, right away she understands, oh, this is salvation for me. God is including me in the salvation story. I am not a dog who is excluded and left outside of the house. I am someone who is welcome. She right away knows, oh, this is a play on words. The Jews say, yeah, you guys are mutts. You guys are dogs. You're stray dogs. But Jesus is saying affectionately, no, Gentiles, you guys who are included, just you wait. And I'm going to start with you. The same way I did with the centurion who I praised, this Gentile Roman soldier. Now I'm also going to take you in. And I don't know about you, but you can ask the Lord, what does it take for you to hear the words at the end of your life, well done, good and faithful servant? What will it take? What will you present to the Lord Jesus for Him to commend you and say, well done? Is it to save 100 people, lead 100 people to Christ, 1,000 people to Christ, 1,000,000 people to Christ? Is it to attend church and be faithful to all the meetings at church? I think here, clearly, as it was in the case of the Roman centurion, this woman is commended because her faith is not deterred very easily. She does not give up very easily. She does not panic very easily. She doesn't get offended very easily. And look back at the last few things that have happened. Stressful situations and how you responded. People saying things and how you responded. Jesus Himself communicating things that are confusing, and it even seems like He's against you. And how did you respond to the Lord Jesus? Did you retreat in offense? Did you retreat in panic? Did you retreat in worry? Did you get so angry? Did you become so embittered by that word? Or did you persevere in your trust? Because if you did, then there is a great likelihood at the end of your life, Jesus will say, well done. And for me, I don't want to just barely make it into heaven. I want to hear those words loud and clear. Well done, Ray. You pressed in. You persevered in your faith. You were not offended. The way that John the Baptist was on the border. He was on the edge of possibly being offended, falling away. He passed his final test. When things happen to us that are so confusing and it seems like Jesus is against you, will you still trust Him? When Jesus is silent, will you trust Him? For some, we're just in a period of we're asking for Jesus to reveal Himself. We're asking for Jesus to come through. Will you persevere in the midst of the silence? For others, we're just getting comments left and right from the disciples of Christ. and they're misrepresenting Jesus. They're saying hurtful things. They're saying stupid things. And would we overcome that, or would we say, oh, Christians, God, they're all the same? And we attribute those hurtful, stupid things and say, ah, they must be a reflection of my Heavenly Father or Jesus. And we project whatever bad images we've seen in authority figures, and we project that on our God, and that's why we feel so insecure before Him. Can we overcome even the hurtful things that the people of God say to us? And third, will we overcome the confusing things that Jesus Himself speaks to you? Will we keep wrestling with it to try to understand what does He mean? And saying, instead of saying, oh, I've thought about it, it doesn't make sense, I'm going to dismiss it. Would we just keep wrestling until that confusing thing becomes clear? And lastly, when it seems like Jesus is against you, will you persevere in your trust? He's not there to tear you down. He's not putting a snare to tempt you so you fall away. No, Satan does that. Jesus puts a little test. And this woman passes every one of them with flying colors. You notice she's not commended for anything she did. She's commended for the quality of her faith. And I would just simply summarize it as, this woman is not offended easily. This woman doesn't get stumbled easily. This woman keeps on pressing in and persevering in her trust of the Lord Jesus when everybody else is falling away. And if we do that, there's a good chance at the end of our lives, we will hear Jesus say of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay, let's pray. There's one person in Scripture that I would love to emulate, this woman would be very high on my list. Just a remarkable woman. She overcame the silence. She overcame the disciples saying stupid things. She overcame Jesus Himself saying something so confusing to a Gentile woman. And she overcame what many would perceive as an insult. And she kept pressing in. She kept persevering. She kept believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus. In the end, she experienced Him. And she received the greatest gift. It's not the healing. It's the praise and commendation from the lips of Jesus. She heard it with her own ears. I pray that all of us would live for that same type of commendation and praise. At the end of our lives, we would have proved ourselves. Every test we will overcome. All the silence, the comments from disciples that misrepresent our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. The confusing things that Jesus Himself says, and even the potentially hurtful and insulting things. For the believer, there is such a gift if we keep enduring, persevering, pressing in with full trust. Father, we want to learn from this woman. Such a remarkable woman. Who had faith even greater than Peter, James, and John at this point in their spiritual journey. She saw things that they did not see. She endured the silence. She endured the disciples' annoyance at her. She endured Jesus saying something so confusing. for a Gentile woman. She endured even a potential insult. She kept pressing in. And at the end, you praised her for her faith. Lord Jesus, we want that kind of faith. Forgive us. We give up so easily. We stumble so easily. We're offended so easily by silence, by comments, by confusing things you say, and even potentially insulting things that you say. You're not here to stumble us. You're not here to offend us. You're trying to bring out a faith worthy of commendation. And that is what we want, Lord Jesus. We want to hear from you at the end of our lives. Well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, teach us how to do this, Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.